You're listening to SBS News.
Denmark has been ranked among the happiest countries in the world for more than a decade. And a big part of this ranking has been linked to the Danes learning empathy from a young age. Jessica Joelle Alexander, you're a parenting expert and cultural researcher with a specific expertise in the Danish parenting approach. What are the main takeaways around the Danish method of parenting that you've researched?
Well, the acronym is PARENT. So the P is for play. So that's a lot of free play. It's considered the most, it's an educational theory. So it's basically the most important thing that a child can engage in. Authenticity is A, and that is just the idea that Danes believe that it's important that we're extremely honest with our kids. And that means with all emotions and not hiding things from them to protect them, because I think it's often the adults that put taboo on subjects, not kids. So the idea is like if it's part of life, it should be part of education. And then R is for reframing, and this is just Danes are very, very good at focusing on the more positive details that are in a situation. So it's not like the American exaggerated everything is awesome mentality. It's just that they think there's always a nuance where we can focus on the good side of things. And this really helps kids in terms of helping them build up a positive storyline about themselves rather than focusing on like the negative things. E is for empathy. This is a really big one. Denmark is also voted as one of the most empathic countries in the world. And that's partly because I believe they also sort of teach empathy in school. It's not called empathy. I've written an article about this many years ago, and somehow over time it's become an empathy class. It's not an empathy class, but it is interwoven into their curriculum. So they believe it's a big part of what we have to teach children. Then N is no ultimatums, and that is basically a very respect-based approach. Spanking has been illegal for over 25 years, I think. You rarely hear yelling. There's a big belief that if you teach respect and you are respectful, your kids will be respectful. And I feel you really see that a lot in the culture. And then the last letter, I feel like a cheerleader, is T, and that is togetherness and hygge. And if you haven't heard of hygge, it's a surprise because it's gone into the English dictionary now. And it's essentially just really making quality time together with family a priority. And sort of scheduling time in for that, where you can really be together in a connected space. So those are the main tenets of the Danish way of parenting.
As you've just mentioned, and as I also noted in your research, reframing, seeing obstacles as opportunities, nurturing resilience and emotional intelligence are big parts of the Danish way. Are these things that are woven into the culture of the Danes, or how has it come about that this is the style of parenting that seems to be popular across the board?
As I discovered through the parenting journey in general, and if you're a parent, anyone who's a parent knows that it's the most important, hardest job in the world that we don't get any training for. And so what we do tend to do is just repeat what we've done unless we really make an active effort. And so what I find is just that this is sort of a way that has been passed on that works and has been working for the society. And so it's something that if you're not Danish, you have to work out a little bit. But that I have done myself as an American, I've integrated the reframing into my life, and it has made profound positive changes, I would say. Whereas in Denmark, I think they just do it more naturally because it's passed on, this language choice.
How is this approach also woven into the school system?
Classens tid, which is actually in the translation, is actually the class's hour. So it's basically like the hour that is dedicated to the class. And I think they started it in 1993, and it was mandatory for many, many years. I don't think it's mandatory anymore, but it's still very, very, very common. And essentially, it's this idea that Danes believe that if you don't feel well, you don't learn well, which is very different than I think a lot of other places. And so they find it's really important that we dedicate time to make sure that the class as a unit is feeling good. And there's also a big belief that our well-being is very tied to our sense of belonging and how we get along with others, which of course now a lot of Harvard research and other research is now supporting this, and Danes have just been doing this forever. And so they believe that it's very important that there's plenty of time dedicated to improving the well-being of the group, which is, I mean, I get goosebumps. Like, I find it so cool and such a special approach. And I've seen it firsthand, and I've seen what a difference it makes. Kids who get help with their relationships, who get help with their social interactions, who learn empathy. And again, it's not empathy 101. It's really something that's modeled. And they do this through so many different exercises and different approaches. I've actually taught klassensteamer outside of Denmark to some international schools. And I called it the hygge hour because that people could kind of understand that it was like the cozy hour. And the difference that it made for even for classes outside of Denmark was like astounding. And it's just amazing how little it takes when we devote to helping kids with their relationships and what happens on the playground, letting them understand each other and talk to each other. It's really special. I remember actually there was a teacher in New Jersey who had also read about klassensteamer, and she tried implementing it in her high school class and said she couldn't believe what a difference it made in terms of not just the class's well-being, but also their learning.
In your research, you said that nurturing kids in this way also prepares them for adulthood. Can you elaborate on this?
Our relationships are so important. How we collaborate becomes so important. And in so many systems, like the American system, many others were taught survival of the fittest, very competitive. And the Danish system is very much about winning as a team and collaboration, and that there's more to life than just winning. And so I think that when you go into your work life, I just find there's a level of maturity that helps lower the drama and lower the issues that we see in other cultures. So it's again, it comes back to this, like, I think the biggest mind shift I've had is how much kids also need help with their relationships. And when they get that help when they're younger, so they don't get into as much bullying, they don't get into as much girl drama. When they go into the work life, there's also more empathy for moms. And there's more empathy for other situations that we don't, if we don't learn that early on, then we kind of grow up to be big kids.
And do you think this Danish way contributes to Denmark then also scoring in the top three for so many years when it comes to the World Happiness Index?
110%. And this is why I do the work I do, because when the first book came out, that was born when I wasn't living in Denmark. So my husband is Danish, and I was living in another country completely, and I had seen all these different parenting styles and all these different ways. And I think you see it a lot when you become a parent, how dogmatic different cultures are about parenting. And suddenly you become aware of, oh wow, what is my way, and why do I believe what I believe, and at that point, I sort of started thinking, oh, you know what? I really think this Danish way is very special. And I'm going to try to incorporate it outside of Denmark. And it worked so well for our family that I thought, wow, maybe this can work everywhere. And I always say it's not about recreating Denmark, because I don't want to recreate Denmark at all. But I think if people took away like even one or two elements, whether that's the empathy or the hygge or free play, I believe that kids will grow up to be a little bit happier.
And how do you feel this Danish way of parenting then carries through to help kids turn into happy or empathetic young people and adults?
Well, I mean, I think it's like anything, if you have a happy childhood, or you feel emotionally supported, generally you grow up to be a more emotionally stable, supportive, happier person. And I think, definitions of happiness vary a lot for people. And I don't think it's not only about achievements and money and things that I feel some cultures make you believe is the most important thing. So that's where the Danish way is very much focused on a sense of happiness that comes from within. So this idea of like they have a concept in Danish which is called et hvile i sig selv, which means to rest well within yourself. And that basically means that like you feel good with who you are no matter what your accolades are, basically. And so, yeah, so I think, obviously, I think happy children grow up to make happy adults, and then hopefully we repeat that cycle.
How has this approach stayed relevant and, I guess, transcended time to still be applicable today, even in this technological age where social media and access to the internet is a big part of some kids' lives?
I mean, I got kind of inspired because, again, I was not living in Denmark at the time when my kids were going through this rite of passage. And like, I think many parents will understand the feeling when you kind of feel like you can't not deal with screens. And so I was looking at the Danish approach a lot, also in the schools, and many of the same things in the parent model, play, authenticity, reframing, empathy, it was the same. So like even I talk about something called digital hygge, and digital citizenship, they call it digital dannelse here, but it's like the klassensteamer, but it's like it's seeing the digital world as just as real for kids that are growing up now as the real world, and we have just as much of a responsibility to teach them to be good humans there. And that was like for me. And so I like kind of recreated that program for my daughter outside of Denmark, and I think it's a kind of missing piece, and that's a big help for parents, that we also have to teach them to be, yeah, empathic and digital empathy, and how to be kind, careful, and this is reduces bullying and all the same things that it does in the real world.